Hallelujah. Bless the Heavenly Father. Thank you for this hour of time. Set us up for us, O Lord, to meet once again at your feet, Father. We are gathered, Father, because, Lord, you compelled on our spirit that we should gather together as often as we could, Father, especially on the Lord's Day, to come together, Lord, and worship and fellowship one with another, and to hear your word. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us, O Father. We pray, Father, you bless the rest of the day now, Lord, the hearing of your word. Touch the lips, touch the ears, Father, and the heart, Father. I pray this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. 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 You are ministered. Philippians chapter 2. You know, I try to keep my sermon to about 70 minutes, but I keep on continuing. Alright, but the thing is, I'm getting very tired now, breathless, so I'm trying to go slow. Alright? If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill you my joy. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being one, being of one accord, and one mind. Now here, remember that this is the book of Paul, and the only book, as I said, there's no doctrine, it's just all about the joy, the contentment of life. And this is a book I think that I believe that everyone of you should love. Read and reread again what Paul experienced in his journey as an apostle and in his ups and his downs, you know, and experiencing the joy in Christ Jesus. Even though as much as he went through all those trials in his life, the pain and the suffering he went through. And especially, you know, here as I said this, I find this is practically the only book that I know, so that Paul lay out openly his feeling. He lay out without hiding himself. He just said what is on his mind regarding what life is all about in Christ Jesus and also the relationship between the brethren. Now, I know that sometimes, you know, we Christian, we want to go to church and we just hear a sermon, and many times we don't apply the word that we heard. The word that we have been taught, the truth that we have been taught. And many, especially, we just like to something, oh, some nice, wonderful thing to hear, and that's about it. But if our life is not walking in the light of God, so then I think we miss the whole point. We have missed the whole point of what salvation is all about, why God chose you, why God called you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So here, Paul openly said that if to this Philippian in his writing, if there be any consolation, the word consolation here is translated kind of strangely. It can be translated as if there is any comfort, any exhortation, any blessing, anything that you can help me. You understand? If there be any comfort, next phrase, of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels, your what bowels means your love, your inner self. Your bowels means what comes up from within you. And mercy, something that you can show me. Fulfill you my joy. Now here is where, well, you know, we read the Bible and then we go to, As I said many times, you just have to meditate and find out what for. It's writing all this. And you know, we know the Bible is in-breath by God. Paul sat down and the Holy Spirit got him to write. Yeah, I know that, we know that every word that he penned down was guided by the hand, by the Spirit of God to put it down. But you must understand that it is also his very inside feeling, his inner being. He looking at life, he looking at what he went through, look at the churches that he ministered to. You know, what's Philippians? The Christian in Philippi. I mean, that kind of way they explain here. You know, he wrote here, was very different from his epistle to the Corinthians. Corinthians was just a mess with all the confusion, so he got to, you know, hit that out and clarify everything. And as it comes to Revelation, and that is what he had given to the believer in Ephesians. In Ephesus. Because that was his home base. You know. But here was this group of believers in Philippi who has such a relationship with him. Of all the churches, so I would say. That he can pretty open himself up to talk like this. You know. If there be any comfort from you, I'm in prison. I'm suffering. I'm in pain. Bible don't tell you how much pain Paul went through, how much suffering he went through. Though we know he mentioned it, we don't know much about what he went through when he was there under home arrest. You know? Perhaps I believe that Luke might have been around to help him as a physician. I know who else might be around with him there at that point in time when this was in Rome. There must be some Christian out there in Rome that come visit him. I'm not sure whether Luke was there as a physician. You know. But his mind goes back to these people here in Philippi. Fulfill you my joy. If you have this love, fulfill my joy. What if my boyfriend said that? Love one another, as we read early on. Love one another. And I think that is, you know what Brother Branham says it? Without agape love, without divine love, you will not make it in. He's trying to make a strong point. And the Branham would say, you see, it's not all about doctrine. I just want my divine love. Love one another, and that's about it. They don't care about, you know, doctrine. You say, well, you can split hair with doctrine, but I just want to have divine love. Yeah, we all want to have divine love, but what is divine love? Where does it come from? If you don't, divine love comes from agape. And what is agape is logos. The word of God. God is love. Is that right? I mean, without the love of God, without God's word, then what? In the beginning was the word was here. That's what the word flow out, right? To manifest God's love. To manifest the whole being that is God. So how can you say that you just, well, agape love, then what do you understand about the word? The Trinitarians say that. All the other religions also can say that. There must be a reality of eternal life. There must be a reality of Zoe life. The original life. That's right. You need to understand this very important point. Fulfill your mind that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being one of one accord, one mind. Now, take for example, let's go into the Old Testament, the Battle of Jericho. In the Battle of Jericho, you know, what God told Joshua to tell the people what to do. Now you have a contingent of the army, the soldiers there, and the priests, and you know, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, right? And then you have a seven trumpeter and so on and so forth. And they were told to march round the wall of Jericho once only in a day. And in so doing, keep quiet. No sound. Nothing. Now the wall of Jericho is not a small wall. Huh? It's, I don't know how, I don't know, 2-3 kilometers wall, or I have no idea how big that is. But you have to walk, march around that and do it very quietly. Without uttering a sound. You do this some days, once a day, and then some day you do it some time. And then only when the trumpet sound, then the people will shout. Now they must do it in unison, they must, they with one mind must do it. And it must be focused. The priests who carry the ark must be focused to carry the ark so that they won't trample by what, because around the wall, you're marching around the wall, it is not an even surface road. And the trumpeter must walk quietly, no talking, no whispering. The soldier behind carrying the sword, the spear, whatever, all very quiet. Now, if just there's one sound made, something's wrong. People must have been one accord. You understand that? I think those of you who are under national service join the army. You know, whenever you have your morning drill, whatever, right? And here comes the, what do you call the person, CO, or the person come in here, and wake up in the morning, maybe 5, 6 a.m., wake everybody up, and there might be some of the soldier boy cursing and swearing, right? Isn't that true in your experience? And then when it comes to marching, some of them would be marching and grumbling, what's the useless thing, blah, blah, blah. They'll say all kinds of things. Is that right? What is that mind of doing what needs to be done? And that's the same thing with the Church of God. And that's why we have a problem, because human beings are 90% mental, 10% physical. It's all here in the mind, always work. Thinking of all the strange things in your head. When you come to a church event, come to church doctrine, come to church, you know, fellowship and worship, there's all kinds of things going in different people's mind. And the worst thing is they start with the preacher. When you start with the preacher, it goes haywire. One brother sent me a video, and I heard what this fellow had to say in his Nigerian. I don't know who that was, and then I asked him who was that the preacher. He said, he mentioned the name. He said, oh, so that's him. Baron Harris knows him. It's well known. And then the video, when he said, he came to the pulpit and said the congregation, oh, you know what? I'm no longer in the, I'm no longer in the message. I'm in the present day truth, or in the food for due season. He said, when I look at all the sermon that I preached, then I said, did I preach all this? Then he told his, whoever in charge of the, you know, posting of the video and sermon, to remove all those. So what Judy was trying to say, that he no longer believed what he had been preaching all these many years. You know, and now he said, we are in the latter rain movement. Then he already made all this mystery. We are not in the latter rain movement. I want you those who are on, listen to this video. We are not in the latter rain movement. There is a latter rain movement before Brother Branham came, or in the time of Brother Branham, and it wasn't even the latter rain. The Pentecostal will tell you we're in the latter rain. And that's what people have misunderstood, this mystery of the early rain and the latter rain. Right?
And if you have known the revelation God has given me, read the book. It is raining. We are in the early rain. The latter rain hasn't come. The latter rain is a short rain. They matured the grain in the sunlight. And that will be harvested. Will be reaped. The husbandman is waiting for the latter rain. Is that right? Are you understanding? You remember? He's waiting for the earlier latter rain. And that's why we have the early rain. What we have is the teaching rain right now. Then suddenly come the latter rain. And he will take his harvest. You understand this? You know, early rain, when you plant a crop, you'll be left in the field for months, isn't it? Would it not too? Months. There'll be rain on and on and on and on because it's feeding the grain, the water, the ground, the nutrient will go up so that the plant can get the nutrient. Right. And then when the grain comes out, you can see the grain up in the sunlight. And the husbandman, you look at the field, the farmer said, wow, soon I'm going to have the harvest. 1 or 2 days later, there's a big pouring of rain. Next day, the combine will come and reap the harvest. The latter rain is going to last for years and years and months and weeks of what we have in the farm. No. The husbandman, if the latter rain came, it doesn't harvest, what happened to those crops? It will die out there. If he doesn't want to rip it in, oh, that plant will grow old and collapse. So if the latter rain has started in the 20th century, then something is very wrong. And if the latter rain is still on now, something is very wrong. I'm not a fool. Truth are hard to chew because people want to have their own idea. And how many percentage of the preacher out there are not even called of God? What did God send us? A message. Come out of all my people. Why? And then we have Matthew 25, the temple genes. Right? Five foolish, five wise, called out from the system. All these are things, mystery that is hidden, and we should all know this by now. In the Battle of Jericho, there's just a simple example. Stay focused. And I want everyone to stay focused in the word. Verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. For in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of other. Here. Let nothing be done through being glory. Now, if I have a classroom here, I'm a teacher, and then I have a classroom of young kids in primary school, right? Yeah. If I said, if I want to have some experiment, something that they can be done, or whatever it is, and something nicely to be done, I say, who want to go first? Me. Right? I mean, that's very common, right? Me. I want to be first. Everybody wants to be first. Nobody wants to be last, and that's the problem. If we have a school, and the classes, and every class has a name, or like just a sports team in the school, you have name, right? Color green, red, blue, or name of animal. So if the class have a name, and the teacher asks all different classes, choose a name for yourself. Has to do with numbers. Has to do with placing. What do you think the children will choose? Class first. First class, or second class, third class. first class. Everybody wanted to be choosing the first one. Right? But here, let me say this. Would you want to choose me third? Me be the third one. You know what I'm saying? Would be we have me being the first. Me first, me first. Oh, me too. Me second, me second. But where was it? Me third. Or me fourth. Let me say simpler than me third. Number three. How do you get joy? Here they said that there must something be done to vain glory or to strive. And lowly no man of mine esteem the other better than ourselves. How do you get joy? Remember, this is about joy and contentment. Why do we want always to be someone out there in front? And that's why in the Philippines, all of these men out there, as I said, well-known mess, and hear what this pastor of the same come around posting something ridiculous on the Facebook. Has money better to do just to pick my name, Brother Jackson's name, Brother Abraham's name, and post it out there. And then make, you should leave Brother Branham, Brother Jackson, Brother Dan, and so on, photograph. I mean, we all know that. But why is my name mentioned? Because there is something about these things. Why you pick up something like this? We all know that when Paul said to Timothy, follow me as I follow Christ, right? What does that mean? We know that, isn't it? So, if Paul said that to Timothy, follow me as I follow Christ, then Peter said, leave Paul. Leave the Apostle Paul. What would he say that? And you know what Brother Abraham said? Find the best teacher that you can find and you stay with him.
Amen.
And if that preacher thinks that he's the best teacher, I will tell you one thing, I don't even know whether he's called of God. I'm tell you something. I will look in the minister's eyes and say, tell me, did God call you? Just tell me, did God call you? Like I did to one of the pastors here. One said, most men said, oh, but again, that's between me and God. I said, no. You have to make known if your God called you. The apostle says, I am an apostle of God. And I got to say that, though I have not said that for many, many years back. Because I know people don't understand until the Lord told me in the 1990 something, you have to make known who you are. You know something? If you got called to be a preacher, a pastor, or an evangelist, whatever, you said so. You don't have to be between me and God. When I was in Uganda the first time up there, when he brought me up to Soroti, I tell you, I was in Kampala, Soroti is up there, and they're just the time after Idi Amin. You know Idi Amin? You heard about Idi Amin? The crazy president who, after he was ousted, there was a lot of guns all lying, rifles all lying around out there. And that's what the Karamunjo and the people, the brother John Martin, all those people out there, in the district called Karamunjo, they have all these guns. And I told Brother John Marshall, John, I would like to go visit your province. He told me, Brother John, if you go, you could stick close to me. I said, why? Say, no, they see a stranger come, they'll just shoot you. And they will just shoot you and take whatever belonging you have. Wow. So you have to be weak. I cannot watch on. You cannot venture, and that's not that you said, no stranger, go in there. That's why that place never seemed to have any missionary going in there. You understand? So when I was up, when they took me up to Soroti up there, to the Soroti, just one of the town outside. And I don't know, the first time there, so we get out there in the evening, after we reached there, you know, home, I don't know how many hours during from morning, we left the hotel, I think I left the hotel around 9, 11 o'clock. And then we went, and then halfway the tire puncture, and then there was no spare tire, we could hang out there on the roadside for about an hour, has to bring the tire down somewhere to get it fixed. Then we drove on. And by the time we reached there, it's almost, the sun already set. It's around 7 o'clock. We're all dusty because it's a van there. There's no air on here. The window is down. And my face are all brown in color. And I was there's this kind of hotel, not even really a hotel. And there's no water, there's no piping water, nothing. They give me a basin of water. A basin of water, and I took my, I always bring with me a face towel. And I wiped, and everything was dirty, the water became brown. Just to remove everything and clean up. Then we went out there to have something to eat, and then we have minister gather around. And they say, okay, let's just get to know one another. Identify each person, take your turn, stand up, say who, say your name, say your ministry, or make known to us your calling. One person will stand up. I'm so and so, I'm a pastor. I'm so and so, I'm an evangelist. And Brother John must stood up, I'm so and so, I'm an apostle. And so on down the line. They will tell them, they will tell who they are. Whether it's true or not that they are called is another thing. You have to prove your ministry. That's what Paul told Timothy. To prove his ministry. Do you see that? So, but let us esteem the other person. Whether the person is an apostle or whatever, esteem him better than you. Even if he's just a deacon, esteem him better than you. Care for one another. Look, not every man on his own thing, which I said one thing is very common, we only look for one part of ourselves. But every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now here, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. When we talk about the mind, let this mind be in you. What is the Paul trying to say when you let this mind be in you? The mind of Christ. That means to say, if you want to say, let this mind, it will be a total, our mind is very complex. Is that right? We can never stop thinking every second. Am I right? Don't play. Do you understand what I'm saying? The mind is very complex. You are sitting here listening to me, but your mind is something else. I can guarantee you, everyone, you're thinking about some other thing. The tendency is there. Because we're human. That's what I talk about. Paul said, let them help you. He said, what he's saying here? The whole, whatever is in my comment, focus your consciousness. Now you bring everything under subjection, which of course is not an easy thing to do. Alright? Everything. Well, with the COVID that's going on the last 2.5 years. Is it 2.5 years? Almost 3 years now. Because starting in January when it came in around that time, in February around the world, it started moving. More than 2 years now. Or nearly come 3 years, I would say that. What went through our mind during this period? What went through our mind during this period? When all the measurement comes in and all these things, what went through our mind? And we read in the paper, people do crazy things, and here was a woman that was arrested because she worked in some department or whatever, and then she no longer worked there, but she had all the identity card number that she had at least, and she went out there and go to different places to collect the mask. You read about it? Come on! How expensive is the mask that you would go and collect all this, and then people who identity belongs to them, they couldn't get it, then report it to the police, and they trace it. What's on your mind? I mean, it's a small thing, but there are other things you think about. I don't know what you think about every day. There are a lot of things that you think about every day. The mind is just so complex, you're thinking this and this, that and that. But you said, let this mind be in you which was in Christ, this mind that is in Christ. Lord, the complex as it may be, bring everything of all this to consciousness that you know. Bring to focus. If we have 2-4 years to go before the earth reaches 6,000, 2 years is 2026. And would it be that also the church age, which I said, the last church age, if we have for the lifespan of a man 120, and since it started in 1906, around about then, we have 2026 as well. And Israel will be 40 years old in 2028. Not far. Isn't it so? Yeah. You see, the thing is that we are very close to the coming of the Lord. Is it on my focus? Or is it on something, is something bigger than this coming of the Lord? Alright. Who, verse 6, who being in the form, the word form is a Greek word morph. Morphe. When Christ, when the Bible said, when John was baptized, the heaven opened and the voice spoke from heaven to John, this is my beloved son in whom I am pleased to dwell in. God and morphe in flesh. Morph. Changing of form. Metamorphosis, you know. Huh? Here, who being in the form of God. Now, I want to say this here. It's Paul dealing with Godhead. His understanding of who Jesus was. That he knew from all the writing of the apostles, the other apostles, because Paul probably had never met Jesus Christ, or he couldn't care about Jesus Christ, because he was younger than Jesus Christ. He was studying under Gamaliel to get into the Sanhedrin. And that's why after he heard all this, the only time that he had met Christ was in a vision when Christ came to him, when he was out there in the desert 3 years, and he learned from Christ visiting him in visions and give him the revelation. Remember what Paul said? That he was not taught by man. Right? He was taught by Christ. You know. So he's describing who Christ was as he knew him. Who being in the form of God taught it not robbery to be equal with God. And now, this is quite a big issue here with this verse of scripture where many people have, or theologians will have, and trying to say, of course, that Jesus was already God before he was born in Bethlehem. And as you say, in the Trinity, Jesus would be the second person. And if you are the one who believes in divinity, you know, it means you believe that he is the second person, Father and Son, and no Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is what the Father is because he is Spirit. So the God has become so confused to many people, even in end time message people. And then I have, of course, in the Philippines, I said, you go all that kind. And here was them, there are a few of them believing that Jesus was born of what? Of the egg of Mary. Let me say you something. was, I use the past tense because Christ is up there. When he was on earth, we will say when he was born on, was he in the loin of Adam? Ask you this question. Think about it carefully. Was Jesus in the loin of Adam? No. The Levi. You know Levi? The priest, the Levi, they were in the loin of Abraham. Am I right? You remember? He was in the loin, they were in the loin of Abraham. They were not even born yet, but they were in the loin of Abraham, and Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, right? Moses said that they give tithes. When you say you are in the loin, then you are traced back genetically. I am the son of my father. I was in my father's loin. He was in the loin of his father. But I was also in the loin of my grandfather, my great-grandfather, and all the way back. You got it? So the question is, was Jesus in the loin of Adam? Oh, yeah. How many say yeah? Put out your hand. You get smacked.
No.
You read the book of Matthew, that generally traced back all the way to Adam, right? It doesn't mean that he was in the loin of Adam. Do you understand why I said that? Think about it. Because Christ was a totally new creation. Has nothing to do with the physical loin. Not the natural loin. But in the spiritual. Adam. Before he was a man put onto the earth in flesh. He was created a spirit. Right? In the image and the likeness of God. Can we not say that he was in the loin of God? Are we not in the loin of our Father? We are all born of his word. We are his seed that came up from the mother Jesus. Hallelujah. And you get these people that come and tell me that Jesus was from the egg of Mary. You want to get your revelation right? You know, when God brought me to this message in 1971, I left the system and I started looking to it about Godhead. Because I thought I was taught there was three gods in one. And I already told you, I've been always praying. I always pray for about an hour. 20 minutes to the Father, talking to Him. Talking to the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, 20 minutes. And also to the Holy Spirit, 20 minutes. No, I look back, I sound so stupid, huh? But that's not what I was doing. Because I was taught. I mean, they all are equal, right? So let us be equal, be fair. Okay, don't spend your time with the Father and then the Holy Spirit. You see how amazing. Because I really love the scripture. I really love God. And by that time, it's just, I was just following tradition. When I follow the tradition, what do you expect? What do you expect? When I was a little boy, I my father had two wives, because it's very common for Chinaman to have a mistress. So I was living with my, all together, two wives living together, in a shop house. And the first one, of course, she being sort of Taoist. So every time you have preparative season come, such as here we have the Mooncake season now, right? Dongqiu Jie, right? You have Mooncake season now. And then you have some kind of some kind of kitchen god or whatever, they sweet stuff so that you won't so that the God will be sweet in the mouth, will not talk bad about you, something like that. I don't know. Okay, so all these festivals come, you have all this chicken and all this food. So all the kids, I mean, I'm just a little boy. And everybody got the joystick. Yeah, you know. We do it. But that is part of life that we are having. But I thank God that He chose me. Open my eyes to see the vanity of all this. You always kid, yeah, I always look at the idol thing, you know. You know, we offer it to the idols, we eat, and then we eat. Oh, it's just kind of funny. But that's how the religions are. So now, we know. Let's go back to some verses of scripture. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. We are all well acquainted with it. Let me ask you. We have heard about the word Alpha and Omega. I'm Alpha and Omega. The first and the last. And then you heard about He that was, is, and is to come. Do you think that all these terms are the same? I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, right? I'm He that which was, which is to come. When the Bible is specific, different thing, look at it closely. Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto you, unto His servants, things of which must shortly come to pass. And He sent and signified by His angel unto His servant John, who bears record of the word of God and of testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and he that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written thereby, for time is at hand. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, and to him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. You see the different word now? So what's the difference between I am an Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, and that other verse, which is, which was, which is to come? Think very carefully, what does the term mean to you? Whenever you read the Bible, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, you are referring to time. Right? I'm the beginning and end, there's a time. There's a time it starts, there's a time it's going to end. But he that which is, which was, which is to come, is not speaking of time. Got it? He speaks of one who is, ever was, is, will be, eternal. And here we have the revelation of John who wrote this. The oneness of the Father and the Son of God together. Very interesting. That's why Jesus was able to say that, or John wrote it that way. Correct? First of all, already in the first verse 4. You can read, grace be unto you, peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven angels who was before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness. Right? You already see it as a Father. And what about the Holy Spirit? What happened to the third person? What happened to the third person? You see, there is no such thing as first person, second person, third person. There is just only one person. And there is Jesus Christ. And there is one Spirit.
which is the Almighty. And I said this many times, God is not a person. He's a spirit, He's a being. You are a person, as a person should be. God is not a person, but Brother Gannon. Now, your people always say, God has a personality. Yes, sir, I know He has a person. My dog has a personality. The monkey in the zoo has a personality. You know that, don't you? Animal have personality. Right, that's true. You can even, keep some cockroaches as a pet. And then you can train them to be, you know. You ever seen cockroaches doing circle thing? Yeah. Even a flea. They have personality. True, you know. And so that's what it is. So when you go back to Philippians, when you read down here, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but make himself no reputation, took upon the form of a servant, and make in the likeness of man. Who being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is not speaking about someone who exists in eternity. It talks about someone who exists before the world was. That is different. Before the world was created, before the universe was created, right? Who was that? Because you're talking about the creation. But you cannot say he was in eternity before the heaven was. The Bible will never tell you this. You will never find a place where that Savior, Jesus Christ, was always in eternity. He was in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Not in eternity. My poor friend who passed away, I mean, you know, he did his best to try to convince me. And try to say that, well, you know, in the beginning means in eternity. Look at the Greek word. Just don't even look at the Greek word. Look at common sense. Beginning. What does it mean? Before the beginning, there's no beginning. Eternity has always been. And here we have people that are also confused over this Godhead thing. All right. The word being here. In verse 6, being is a Greek word, hupako. Hupako has the hupaku. Now, the Greek word here means to come into assistance. And what do you mean? Who being in the form of God, he come into the system as being in that form. It must have something going. Paul did not say that who was God Almighty. Paul knew the revelation. So when Paul looked at Christ, he was telling for whom the Christ that he knew. You know, when Jesus came, after he was baptized, the Word of God came into him, or the Word of God tabernacled into flesh. So when he was the whole Word in flesh, he was in the form of God because he can do anything he wants, right? You believe? No. Yes, he could do anything. He could call legions of angels. He could do any miracle as he wants to. But you see, even though he was in that sense equal with God, because God gave him all the power of the world invested in him. Yet, what did the Bible say here? In continuing, he made himself no reputation. That is, he emptied himself. Wow, he had got all the power, you don't want it. Think about it, huh? I was thinking about Muhammad Gandhi. Is it Muhammad? No, Muhammad.
Huh? The one who's become a Buddha. Mahamaya? Huh? No. What's that? I can't remember. The Buddha, the one who was a prince, remember? You know how he became a Buddha? He was a prince, and he won the castle. He saw an old man, a sick man, and dying man, something like that. He was troubled about life. So he gave up everything of being a prince, went out to sit under a Buddha tree and tried to find, meditate to find an answer. So what do you mean? That's what you mean. Empty Jesus Christ in the form that he was with after the baptism, the fullness of God was there to exercise it. All the full word was there given to him. But he don't want to use it all. He emptied himself to be a servant. He come to serve. Yeah, you know when Christ came, he could just speak to disciples and make them all converts, give them the Holy Spirit. He could do anything he wanted to. Literally. This is my beloved Son. You know. In him should all fullness dwell. But yet, God the Father knew that, well, the Son will prove himself whether he's worth it or not. Now, we are all given the Holy Spirit, eternal life. Are we worthy of that? That's a good question. Are we worthy of this life? Are we worthy of the gospel? Can we prove ourselves worthy? That is the thing about it. Or is it, oh, I'm a Christian? You know, every day, every Sunday, thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians go to churches. How many, what percentage are actually in the faith of God? In the faith of God and in the faith with God. How many percentage of people are in there? And I say this, I want every Christian, really Christian, say we are born again to make the rapture. But I know the Bible don't teach that. Because the Bible said, the wife and make herself ready. I mean, are these children wife? Are they ready, make ready? Think. That's why oftentimes I just sit meditate. So, Lord, I want my life to really be worth it. Forgive me if I fail. You see how important that is? Not just to say I'm a Christian. It's easy to say I'm a Christian. You know, when you talk about confession, many of them are not cool confession. Let's go to John 17, 5. Anyway, I forgot to read this one. John 17, 5. This is the same verse that Trinity and got confused. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before the world was. Jesus never existed. But it was the Word that existed. The monogene. When was it started? Goes back to Ephesians chapter 1. Now we need to get our chronology right. Remember, there was only the one mighty spirit. The Bible said, Paul said, God counseled with himself. Okay? God counseled with himself. And after he had counseled with himself to what he wanted to do. But the most important thing is that in his counseling, there must be an essence for what he wants to do. The very source of what he wants to do. The seed, so to speak. Or the Greek word used the word monogene. And so he Because of him himself, he wants to have a family. Remember, that's why the clues in the book of Genesis give away. It is not good for man to be alone. I'll make him help me. He created Adam. It is not good for Adam to be alone. God was alone. It is not good for him to be alone. He wants a family. But he wants to make it in such a way. He wants to bring about in such a way that his children are really worthy to be called children. I mean, he created Adam and it was pure sinless. God can create a woman and give it to him as a wife and say, be fruitful and multiply and bring forth children. They could produce children after your great grandchildren all down for 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years and none of them would die. Right? Well, they don't experience anything. They don't know, you know, what is good, what is bad. You remember we talk about God said, I create both good and evil. The purpose of why he brought about evil. Because God had that knowledge. He's omnipotent, all powerful, omniscient, ever present. So he knows what is good, what is bad. But Adam and Eve, if there is no experience of what evil is, they will not know. They will just continue with doing the good things. We all know what is bad, right? But can we keep on doing the good thing? How many of us can continue to do it? Do we ever make mistake of doing the bad thing? You see? So God allowed the fall. That's the reason why God had all this counseling. So before he brought all these things out, he bring out the logos. And that's one interesting point I want to say. The brother Bram defines so well. Simple. He said the word was a word body. God came out in the word body. I like that. Because it's a theophany. Actually, it is a theophany. But in that theophany was an investment of the fullness of what God wanted to reveal. That's the one, the word. In English word, in Greek word, is called logos. Means the revelation of God. And the revelation of God is progressive. Many of us young people probably don't know what is a Roman candle. You ever play the firecrackers, the Roman called the Roman candle? You light it, you go boom, 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 shuts up. It's called a Roman candle. You see, the first shot, boom. Three days it, no, go somewhere. It, boom. It spread out. You see, that's what revelation is. It started and revelation is progressive. God reveals it a little at a time. That's why the word in John 1:1, the word logos means the revelation of God. Huh? So it was then when the word came forth. And that was where God put sonship. Sonship. Remember the angels? They were created in the image of God, in the likeness of God too. But they were not given sonship. They never called God Abba Father. They couldn't. Because they were servants. They were called God Master, Lord. They couldn't call God. They can never. Because the spirit of sonship is not given to them. And the first modern gene that came up, the whole logos, that which God brought forth to create heavens and the earth, God put sonship in that. And because of the one seed, Jesus said, it must die and bring forth many seeds. Do you understand? That's what we were in Christ. Christ in God. So that's what Christ can say. Remember, I was with you before the world was, glorify thou me. As you glorify me back then to bring forth the heavens and the earth, now glorify thou me. God says, I will glorify it. As I glorify it, I will glorify it again. And there will come a time when God is going to glorify him again.
when we sit with Him as manifestation of the sons of God. Are we worthy of the gospel? Are you worthy of your calling? That's the important thing. Let's continue. So he emptied himself, verse 7. Means of no reputation means he emptied himself, took the form of a servant, or the nature of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wow. You know, we always think, I mean, this question I've asked before, but not in our fellowship, it was a long time ago. I mean, Jesus is God. Why, you know, He had all the power. Why do you have to face God? I mean, face death. But there was a plan of God. For him to lay down his life as a seed. So there are a seed that is buried, die in the ground, and bring forth life again. If he doesn't die, we don't have life. So the point of people are asking, why all these things? Die on the cross, death. True. But said, you look at the way the thing happened. When he know his last hour of death. You know that there's a lot of pain in Christ. That's why you see in a movie called The Passion. Huh? This is called a passion. The passion did not start at the cross. The passion started in the Last Supper. You know. The few days before that, he asked the disciples to prepare the Passover table. He was already in a very quiet mood because he's facing death. Huh? The disciples didn't know. So when they went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he told them to pray with him, he went a little way off to probably a stump of a tree. And kneel down and pray. And the disciples didn't know, they were not focused when they went to sleep. And the pain that was there. Just think about it. I don't want to die, Father. I don't want to die. Nobody wants to die. Do you know? There are a lot of people that commit suicide or suicide. And especially during the COVID, it seems. Not just locally here, around the world, reported a lot of people commit suicide. I don't know what COVID has brought around that day. People became so claustrophobic or something, they got frustrated. But that's committing suicide. Jumping off a building, hang yourself. But you know, I wouldn't say that they're coward. Now, because there is a coward, that's why Kumi said, don't say that. Because you do not know what a person went through. But the thing is that Jesus Christ is facing a death that he's not guilty of. And that's painful. And he's knowing he's going to, because the prophecy is already in the Bible, Old Testament. He will be hanging on the tree. He will die upon the tree. That's the cross. That's a crucifix. That's a terrible death. And he prayed one time. I don't know how long he prayed. As I said, we don't. Then he went up there in front of the disciples sleeping quite some time. And he found him sleeping. Wake them up. Asked them to pray with him. Went back a second time. And then the same thing happened. I don't know. Because the Passover that they took was in the evening. So by the time it was already midnight. And by the time the soldier came and arrested him, it's almost
Well, near about 3 a.m. in the morning or 4. I was saying, I can't remember the timeline, but I will express to you any time. So he probably appeared 2-3 hours for Adam. His son says, I don't want to die, Father. If it's possible, if there's some other way to save mankind, let it be. But and God remains silent. Huh. Think about it, and that's where sometimes when God will answer, the answer is on the way. But he won't tell you how. And then Jesus, that your will be done. And then the angel came and ministered unto him. He was so much in stress that his heart actually broke. His heart actually torn apart. He had a baby, quite I cut and thump. Then he probably split, and then you know the blood whoosh into the pericardium. It's bleeding, and then all the pressure pushes up the blood to the surface of his skin. And the strength still was there for him. He staggered throughout the whole night until the morning, where he was nailed at the cross at 9 a.m. in the morning. And for 6 hours, hanging there. 6 hours! Finally, they had to bring down the body. And he's still alive. In great pain and suffering. The soldier took the javelin, the spear, to break the leg of everyone who hang upon that cross, those crosses. But when they came to Jesus, he saw that he already gone. Because he already cried out to the Father, Father, it is finished. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. A soldier peered his sight. Make sure that he's dead. Because after all, he's already, everything is, leg is already bent. Because if you are not, you will still stand straight. Because that's how you support your wing. But once you already die, the leg is bent. And so they had to break the cross of those thieves. When they came to Jesus, he would have broken it. But the Bible said that he would not be broken. Not one bone. Pierced his side. And blood and water came from. And that tells you he died of a broken heart. Do you see? Died of a broken heart for you, for me. So are we worthy of the gospel? Are we worthy of the gospel? Are we worthy of his love? So he gave himself up so that we could share his body. We could share his blood. We could share his life. Remember Jesus Christ before that night? He was betrayed and put to death. He took the cup. He took the bread. He took the cup, right? So this is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat it. This is the cup of my suffering, my blood. Drink it. So he died. He went to the cross, he died, so that you could share a part of his body. So that you could share his blood. So that you could have the life. So let this mind of Christ be in us. That's what Paul is going to say. Wherefore, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hey, this is Paul's writing this. Did you see the word joy there? You see the joy, what joy there? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? How many of you can say you rejoice when you are dying? Huh? You're innocent, you are accused of something, of some murder, or something that's not your fault. This happened in America many times. Now you go to the gallows, you want this. Are you happy? And the God is holding both side by side. The God is looking at you, he's like, oh, I'm happy. Will you be happy when you are going to die like that? Some of you will scream, I'm in the sun! Think about it. But Jesus went to the cross with joy. Yes, in the Garden of Gethsemane there was a whole lot of pain. He wanted to find God would change his mind. Of course God doesn't change his mind about his word. And Jesus knew the word must be fulfilled. He knows everything, right? He knows the scripture. And so what did he do? He went to the cross with joy. Knowing that, now I can rejoice. Because knowing that when he died, he'll bring forth much fruits. Yeah? I can rejoice now. That's what Paul can rejoice. Even in his suffering, Paul rejoiced. Because why? Paul knew who he was. I rejoice, I know who I am. There. Have no fear. To those who are already born again, who have the assurance of the agape, the life of everything that God is that's given to you. What else do you need? You have Christ, you have everything. And that's what even in Hebrew, we rejoice. Hebrew 10. For those, well, verse 26 to 27. 10, verse 26 to 27. For those who are not Christian, and for those who are Christian but have backslidden or rejected the truth, walk away with him. It says here, for if we sin willfully after that, we have received the knowledge of the truth, that we may no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking forward of judgment and fiery indignation, we shall devour the adversary. Yeah? Because in verse Philippians 2 verse 10 says, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things in earth and everything under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And that's a very interesting word here. Confess. Every knee shall bow. In heaven, in earth, anywhere, bow and confess. It's not like just you get a criminal and you stand before the emperor, what? You stand on there, the soldier says, bend your knee! No. You fire the emperor. So what do you think the soldier will do? What king? Bend his knee down, right? He is forced to bow. Confess, he is emperor. No. Hit him. No. Hit him until he confesses, right? But what does he say here? Everyone will bow their knee and confess. Willingly.
Because by that time you will know who Christ is. You cannot run away from that. You cannot run. Yes, He is Lord. Yes, He is God. They will confess it. That's what confession is. For us, when we confess that we are Christian, how do we confess? Do we confess the way we should confess, or not at all? Huh? How do we confess? Do we confess joyfully? Do we? That's interesting, isn't it? Let me see. We can go on in a bit more. Verse 12. Wherefore, verse 12. Second Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I want you to be careful how you read the Bible. Here it says, now read the last part. Work for your own salvation if you're in trouble. Am I reading it right? Okay, let's read it again. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work for your own salvation with fear and trembling. Am I reading right? No, I'm not reading right. The Bible never tells you to work for your own salvation. It says, work out your own salvation, not work for your salvation. That's a whole lot different. And that's why we have Martin Luther reading all the epistle of Paul, loved that book of Paul, especially the book of Romans. And when he came over to the book of James, he had a big problem. He rejected even that epistle. It's called the epistle of straw. What is James talking about? You know, okay, you know, James, let's go to James chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. For we don't know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? See thou how faith wrought with his work, and by faith was work made perfect. So when Luther read this, so he had a problem. He didn't salvation for us that is the free gift. Right? It's not a work that any man should boast. But here, James says, faith and work. But one of the problem here is the word work translated. If you take the word work translated, the Greek word is egon. It actually means action. Action. Of course, when you work, it's action, right? Okay, when you work for me, you work for a company, that's action. It's the same word. But the Bible translates work. But if we were to read it like this, verse 20, of James chapter 2. For we don't know, O vain man, that faith without action is dead. It's better, don't you think so? Huh? Because action is a manifestation. Not working out to get your salvation, no. Manifesting that you have the salvation. You manifest according to what the word says that you ought to manifest.
You get it? Abraham had faith. God gave him a son. That through that son will come forth nations of people. Right? God's promise is there. But later on, as the child grew up to be a young man, God says, "No, I want you to sacrifice him." What? No. Do you think he suddenly talked to God like that? No. What do you mean? Abraham sacrificed him for me. If Abraham did not have a revelation, he would probably have a great debate with God. Do you understand? God promised him a son and that he will have a nation of people. That's promise God never changed. Okay, I will sacrifice it. And you know, what do you think about Isaac? Willingly go with his father. Taking the wood on his shoulder, he didn't know. And he thought that probably, maybe he thought that the servant had the lamb. He carried the wood, went up there, the wood, everything was there on the altar. Daddy, where is the lamb? Where is the sacrifice? Abraham said, "My son, you are the sacrifice." Wait a minute. No. You know that Isaac can defend himself, and Abraham, you know, was an old man. What do you think? Why did Isaac listen to the father and be willing to be bound? Think about it. Because the father had told him all that God has said to him about you are going to bring forth nations of people. Right? Isaac had a rapport with his father. That he knew his father's faith. And he had the faith also to believe in God. Okay? I'll rise again. No power on earth can tie me down. I will rise again. Do you think not that Abraham knew that God's promises lies there? If I punch the knife in him, he died. God has to take him up again. Because the seed is there. You cannot change. The surgeon was talking about the faith. God said, "Do this, you do it." Did you not do what God said to do? That's why you talk about, show me your faith. Show me your work. Show me your action. Show me your manifestation that you are a child of God. Yeah? The Lord bless everyone. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for that, Lord. I'm exhausted. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation you've given us. Let each and every one of us, Father, in this fellowship and all that follow this ministry, be blessed, Father. Now understand the revelation, Lord, of the life that is in Christ Jesus. And how that he set the example, how that he revealed the reality of God, the reality of faith. And so as you said, as you promised, so be it, Father. To know only Jesus Christ the Lord will run a good race. Not only just for Paul who also ran a good race, and all the apostles and saints who ran before us. Let every one of us, Father, in this present life, even what's coming our way, that we run a good race. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Father. Let the word that we have learned be kept in our heart. that we be faithful, O Lord, to everything, O Lord, that regards Jesus the Christ, eternal life, agape, grace, mercy, all that is in Christ Jesus. Bless now, Father. Take further the word of God and feed your people in Jesus' name. Amen.